You are listening to The Obscure Gentleman, a bi-weekly pop culture podcast dedicated to filtering pop culture through the eyes, the ears, and the spaghetti brains of ourselves.
Like meatballs, too? Or Or what is it, like fingers made out of cheese with little...
Yes.
Yeah. Marinara sauce is blood.
If you already listened to Monday's episode... Oh, by the way, I'm your host, Aaron A. Alvarez. And who are you?
And I'm Alex Mitchell.
Yeah, you're not a ghost anymore.
No, I'm not.
So if you listen to Monday's episode, this is horror-themed. This whole month is horror-themed or spooky-themed.
Yeah, things that are a bit darker.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. It's our variety day.
Yeah, and it's Halloween.
Ooh. Last time we'll do that.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Frankenstein's podcast.
And don't tell your friends about this because it's too spooky for them.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell your friends about this only if they can handle the spookiness.
You gotta sign a waiver saying that you won't tell your friends,
or you'll permanently be branded a coward, and you'll have to walk through
shamed.
You'll be walked through the coward's corner,
and
then the ambulance will show up or something,
and Mr. Sardonicus will die or something because no one will ever want him to live, and the Tingler will be rubbing up your ass.
Oh my, the Tingler! The Tingler was on my balls once. Oh shit!
And you'll put on different headphones to hear different parts of the podcast.
Make sure when you listen to this episode to have your 3D glasses on.
Yes.
And when we say put them on, put them on, and then you'll hear stuff in 3D.
And when we say scream, you have to scream.
Yeah. So that'll be peppered throughout.
Yes.
Remember, this podcast is in 3D, I guess. I guess that's a good time to start the show. So,
I pray the devil will take me now.
Don't say that. That's spooky.
Back together again, eh? Let's play.
Listen to them. Children of the night. What music they make.
They're coming to get you, Barbara.
I just can't take no pleasure in killing. Just some things you gotta do.
We all go a little mad sometimes.
What an excellent day for an exorcism. It's alive!
Now we're joined by two guests.
Two guests with the...
With what?
The mess, I guess.
Guests with the mess. First we were joined by our El Presidente.
Our founding father, if you will.
The leader of the Obscure Gentleman.
The God King of mankind.
Head writer, editor-in-chief, whatever you want to call him. You please introduce yourself.
The Principality.
Jim.
Jim, also you can also find him on 12 for a Penny.
Yes.
A music podcast.
Yeah.
Which we've mentioned a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And we also are joined by...
The King of Plain Zeros.
The King of
Plain Zeros. I'm also known as Obscure Gent.
Obscure Gent. He's on Twitter. Follow him at Obscure Gent. His Instagram, I think, is the same thing too, right?
Yes. Yeah. I will not allow you to follow me back, but I'm there.
Okay. There you go.
He's Papa Jim.
Papa Jim. Big Papa Spooky Jim.
The Y makes it better.
So we're also introduced... We are also joined by
Rowdy Roddy Travis Kennedy.
Okay, so for those listening right now, this is going to be something we're going to do each week of October. So you're going to get 4 weeks, four movies, horror movies that we have not seen. Well,
we haven't seen.
The majority of people haven't seen.
Yeah.
This week, what we're going to be doing is these are talkbacks. So we just watched the movie, and then we're going to just...
Record.
Should...
Well, I don't want to pull back the curtain.
Will there be spoilers?
There will be spoilers.
If you have not seen the film, The Wobbadook, there will be
spoilers. The Wobbadook.
I didn't say The Wobbadook.
You totally said The Wobbadook.
That's the name of the founder of the Wobba Grill.
That's correct. And none of us have actually seen The Wobbadook, so...
Okay. The Babadook
There will be spoilers.
So yeah, this week we will be covering The Babadook, which is an Australian horror film. Do you want to tell, like, do you want to set up what the movie is then?
Okay. Yeah, The Babadook is an Australian film about this mother and her son. They lost their father. Her husband, and the son lost his father when he was
born.
Yeah. Car accident, regrettable.
Yeah, he was taking her to deliver the baby.
It's basically a child who's a bit of a troublemaker, one might say.
He's out there.
Can you call him an asshole?
No, but he's almost there. I'm not shutting you down. I'm just saying.
He's an ass, but he's not an asshole.
No. I asked if I could. He said no. I will abide by that.
You could call him a jackass.
He is definitely a jackass.
Yeah.
All right.
Because he doesn't mean to be.
He's also a
stubborn
piece of shit, and if he's hungry, he's gonna eat shit.
Yes. So
a direct line from this movie.
So yeah, this kid is a little bit of a troublemaker. He made it like a crossbow and brought it to school.
He's disturbed.
He's a little disturbed, I guess.
Ooh, ah, 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 ah.
Yes.
I fucking knew it.
Get down with the sickness. and yeah, for some reason the mother decides to read him this book called Mr. Babadook.
Well, the mother doesn't decide.
Well,
she tells him to pick the book.
Pick any
story, dude, and he's like, I found this one, mama.
Yes. Mr. Babadook, which is a man in a top hat and a cane, much like
There's no cane?
No,
there's no cane. No,
well, it's got to be cane.
Yes!
Yeah!
Yes.
Gotcha.
I knew it was coming. Yeah, so then...
It turns out after reading this story about the Babadook, which is this entity that kind of invades your house and kind of looks at you and follows you while you sleep and all that.
Yeah.
It scares the kid to the point of almost insanity.
Well, he gets a seizure.
He does get, like, a bit of a seizure. Yeah. And the mother gets basically drugs to help the kid sleep and all that. Just to
tranquilizers, yeah.
Relax her, relax him, you know. It's mostly for the kids so she can have a normal life.
Yeah.
She works at, like, an old people's house, you know. She doesn't really have friends. You know,
that's the weirdest way to say like rest home or
an old people's house.
I'm going by Simpsons like definitions
here. An old people's
house. No,
you could have said like an old person's home.
We got it because in the Simpsons they say we got to get the old folks home back to the old folks home.
Old folks home sounds nicer than old people's. That sounds like she's.
It's literally the same words.
It's just a house of old people.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like when you say it.
All right. So, yeah. So the movie's about her trying to prove that this thing isn't real, but then coming to terms with the fact that it is.
Yeah. Eventually, this thing starts invading their house, and they got to figure out what the fuck's going on.
Yeah.
They got a dog, too. So.
Yep.
And there's an old lady that kind of cares about them.
Is it their dog?
Yeah.
I just thought it wandered in, or it was the ants. I didn't understand that part.
No, jumping right into it at this point.
Okay, yeah, okay.
The old lady is actually the boy's grandma, right?
No.
She's just the neighbor.
It's a neighbor.
Yeah, it's the neighbor lady.
I don't know. I'm just saying because she says.
I want to say.
She
I want to say.
Her, like, she talks about like her son, who would be the woman's age, and how he always speaks his mind, blah, blah, blah. And then.
No, she's saying that your husband used to always speak his mind.
Yeah.
Because. All right. I'm just saying.
They've known her for years. By the way, I want to say Travis probably spent. Like, maybe an eighth of the time not looking at the screen.
No, I was doing this.
Yeah, he wasn't looking at it.
Which, for the listener at home, is a beautiful thing for me to describe by doing.
It's the Captain Picard kind of.
Covering his eyes and his butthole.
Well, I mean, if I'm sitting down, my
butthole is. That's how you drive. That's what they mean by 10 and 2.
I gotcha.
So, yeah, essentially, it is a movie about that. It's about a mother trying to.
There's some meat to this story, I'd say. There's a lot of, like, emotional shit behind it. I kind of worry because the kid's acting isn't amazing.
It's a little.
I know, and that's why.
There's only like two good child actors.
Mickey Rooney.
Mickey Rooney, who's the age of 12 for 80 years.
Those two. Young Malcolm McDowell, Mickey Rooney.
No, I'm saying the boy just looks like young Malcolm McDowell.
Wait, when was young Malcolm McDowell an actor?
In Clockwork Orange, he was actually 12.
No. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, that's how good of an actor he was.
I don't know what's happening right now.
Yeah, child actors are never great.
No, I mean
there's a few. He's not great, but he wasn't shit either.
He was only bad when you would laugh when he's like having a fit.
Yeah.
When he screamed.
I mean, he really stole the shit out of being a horrible. I hated him so much. I mean, I really did up until the point where he's at his cousin's birthday party to feel more normal.
Yeah.
Shit's already going crazy.
But
and then his what's it called? His cousin starts saying, your dad's dead. And then it's like,
but she was being mean, too.
She was, yeah.
No, okay, was. Here's the thing.
That's the point where I went from, I really hate this kid, to,
this kid's all right. You know what? You and I both had that kind of like mutual, like, yeah, all right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a troubled kid.
I don't,
who, like,
yeah.
His dad died and his mom's like an emotional wreck.
And she's working. It's implied that she's working most of the time.
Yeah. He's also a fucking genius for making these contraptions, like, yeah. Leonardo da Vinci, who looks like a young Mick Jagger.
Yeah. You can hug him in Assassin's Creed 2, but if you miss the hug option, you feel sad. Oh. And then you restart and try and hug him again.
Really? I missed that.
Now I'm sad.
Yeah.
You should have tried.
So yeah, that's the general consensus that people do feel about that this kid actor.
And you should have tried to hug Leonardo.
Not that. Yeah, they do feel that the kid's annoying and he's a brat. But then, when you do think about it from the perspective of the child and the mom, it's like, okay, this kid's going through a lot for such a young age.
Yeah, and also like the mom's sister, or either is it the mom's sister?
It's her sister.
Yeah. Okay, like. Being a real, like, misunderstanding person about this whole situation.
She's been dealing with this for 7 years, though. I mean...
Okay.
So she's... Everyone's at their breaking point except the
but it's like... The breaking point's like... It's like... The breaking point's like, I don't want to hear you talk about this horrible thing that happened to you anymore. Versus, you're dealing with a horrible thing that happened to you. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's kind of like, come on.
I think the whole family a bunch of whack jobs, yeah. You ask me.
The old,
wackadoos.
The old Thank lady you. Is the only one who's like...
The old you mean the grandma. Awesome. Okay, can I...
I'm still holding to this theory.
Can I say that the old lady is awesome?
The boy doesn't know, but the mom knows. It's, and she just
don't
doesn't...
Don't yeah. call him the boy.
That's don't true. Call him the boy.
I think
Samuel.
I don't know where you got the whole grandma thing from.
I did not.
I think... There's little subtle hints, and I feel like if you look online, there's probably other people with the same theory.
I feel like these theories are probably only in IMDb.
Because for our past Chat Roulette episodes, we've basically...
Chat Roulette?
I keep saying Chat Roulette.
We're not looking
people
at
showing you their dong?
Yes, Chat Roulette.
Netflix Roulette.
Netflix Roulette, because they're both horrible.
You know, it's... I understand
it's,
why
we
you're
basically
saying
have
it,
strip mine IMDb for Insane
Cop. In the movie, there's no grandma. I don't know what you're talking about.
Old people are grandmas, right?
He I'm going to go find the director and I'm going to ask him.
You know what? You and me, Travis, we're not good with horror movies.
No, no. I like horror movies. I've
horror.
I enjoy a good, like, a horror movie. The problem with this movie was there's a lot of buildup and like, it gets pretty intense for a while. I will say, to me, it felt like the end didn't quite deliver, but like up until that point, there's just a lot of different things going on where I'm like,
it's beating at you. It beats
for
your brain.
It was bothering me for a while.
Yeah, for most of the fucking movie,
you feel tense.
You don't. It's just constant tension. It's like it never like throws the Babadook in your face. It never,
which is good.
Yeah, you hear the voice. You're constantly and you're waiting for this payoff, and then like. The payoff is just like, okay, but it doesn't matter because the whole fucking ride, you're just like, motherfucker. I mean, just like, ba 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 ba.
I mean, it
there's
kind of
one scene where it like jumps in her or whatever. That was spooky, but it's like, it's literally like 2 seconds of like, if that, I think 1 second of it like flying at her.
Like every time you see it, it is like, it is kind of creepy. I mean, especially when she looks in the old lady's house.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The grandma.
Creepy as fuck.
But, like, the thing is, for me, is that, like, there's... It's, like, it's so subtle that it's, like, I just want it a bit more. Because you would hype up this movie like crazy.
I wouldn't, though.
I feel like every Plane Zero, you would hype up this movie.
I know what? The main reason I wanted to watch this was because of Alex on Plane Zero every week saying, Babadook!
No, that was Travis. It would always be Aaron saying, oh, I saw this cool horror movie. And I would go, what's it, the Babadook? And then I would point at Travis, and Travis would go,
"So
Babadook!" I mean, there you go. So
I mean, as far as horror, because typically horror movies don't scare me because there's not a lot of tension. Off the bat, you either see the guy or get glimpses.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, great. But this had so much tension where it's like it was actually enjoyable to me.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It felt to me like a haunted house that you go to during Halloween where you're just constantly like tense, like, all right, fucker, come on, come on. when they come out, you're kind of scared, and then it's just like, oh, well, that's cheesy and over.
Yeah, and it doesn't rely heavily on jump scares.
No, and I'm...
And it manages to make tense scenes even in the daylight, which is... It's kind of hard to find horror.
Well, like, even the scene with the car, when she just looks in the rearview mirror, and then all of a sudden you just hear, Babadook.
Yeah.
Duke.
And then the transporter shows up to get angry about his car. Get it?
Oi!
That's my transport. Thank you.
But... It's weird because to me the end though it felt like it in like it ended like Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Now it's a part of the family and they keep it as a pet.
Well, there's some things about the ending.
Are there theories about?
No, there's what the movie's like technically about.
Okay.
So the book that she was reading, everyone understood that she wrote that book, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay,
so,
oh, no, I got you.
They even say in the movie that she was a writer.
Okay. Oh, yeah. They do reference that.
And then it's very quick, but when she's at the police station, the police officer says, and it's a book that you wrote. Says it very quickly.
I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Because he goes, it's a book that you wrote. It's a book that
you wrote. And you know the Australian accent.
No, that is.
No. Just do a British accent, but
no, this is how he says it. This is Australian. Hello! It's a book that you wrote.
Yeah. What is that?
Yeah, Travis has got it.
There you go. That's how he said it.
He quickly says that. She's the one who likely taped it back together or something like that. But the thing about it is, though, it's the Babadook is a physical manifestation of all of her grief.
It's her sorrow.
It's
okay.
And so, essentially, what the ending is telling us, because so it ends with the Babadook in the basement, right? Essentially, that's her burying all of her depression and her sorrow, and she's still feeding it to keep it at bay. So is the Babadook a monster? Yeah, it is a monster, but it's like it's all the sadness you have when your loved one dies, and like all the hatred you've built up, and it's come to life. So she created this myth that just almost destroyed her and almost killed, because she did want to kill her son.
Yeah, even and they killed the dog too.
And I think it was a great setup that early on the film they show, okay, basically here's the prophecy: you're gonna kill a dog, then you're gonna kill your son, then yourself. And so the whole time you're watching it, every time you see the dog, it's like, oh fuck.
And then as soon as she does kill the dog, you realize, oh fuck, now like
everything else.
This really was. It's all set to happen.
Yeah. I'm gonna be honest. I thought that boy was dead. As soon as she had like him in her arms, I thought I was like, okay.
It's over.
Not the movie's over, but like...
No, that it's over for him.
Yeah, yeah, because he was getting curtains. Choked. He was getting choked the fuck out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, you know.
And see, what I appreciate about this movie is, like, that whole message about the context of this message and everything it's trying to say is that it doesn't beat you over the head with it, and it manages to meld it with the film itself. It's almost like the original Night of the Living Dead, Romero's early films that were able to do that, where you can have this message, but it's not like, you see, but instead it's like, look, people, like when they lose their spouses, it's like they go through hell, and it's like,
and then you create a monster that lives in your basement.
I think
I understand. I think the thing,
like, to take away, if you look deep enough, you can find really that inside of all of us there's a Babadook.
Yes.
He's not wrong, though.
No, no. I know
there was a bit of humor, but you're not wrong.
I made this joke earlier that the Babadook is inside all of us and we'll all be satisfied by the Babadook. Some stupid joke.
Just like a finger or something.
Yes. There is a Bill Finger inside all of us. But no. Travis isn't wrong.
Travis is right.
I'm not used to hearing that. I'll take it.
He's gonna start crying now.
Yeah. The Babadook is like, because that's what I was thinking. Like, is it like a manifestation of like everything that she's feeling? Is everyone?
Oh, no, it totally is. But it's real. It is a real monster.
Yeah, but I think my problem was that like it was treated like something that you should just brush off by her fucking. I think her family, her sister, and her friends, I think they're pieces of shit who have not actually tried to help her cope.
Do we know that though?
It's whatever the movie's showing me.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it's been 7 years and it's established that she hasn't moved on, and it's eaten at her, like, to the point where
she created a monster that tried to kill
And everything her, in her insides are rotten. Like that's she spit out all that like bile essentially.
And hatred.
She's drinking ink is what's going on here. Yeah. And she's delusional because of it.
Yeah, so I mean she's gone nuts. This monster that she made a book. She made a pop-up book.
This just turned out to be a really like a very well done tense movie. Oh, yeah.
No, it was good.
Compared to most horror movies that I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, because most horror movies that you see, especially nowadays, I'm a jaded old horror fan that's like, oh, everything new is stupid, but...
That's the difference between me and you is that I have very little experience.
You don't watch horror movies.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, I'm...
You actually think there's too much horror business.
Yes. Driving late at night. I think my only problem with the problem was that it didn't become a big problem. And what I mean by that,
I don't know what that means.
What I mean by that is that I was tense. I was getting pumped up and ready for
because it was intense.
The big finish, and you know what? The climax did not come.
It was a DQ.
I liked this a lot.
Yeah.
But it's just I was waiting for something just.
Okay.
It's just I was just waiting for just something just a little bit more just
I,
to like.
I totally get. I get what you're saying with it.
Yeah.
But. For me, just because of how horror movies are, where it's just payoff, 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 and then you just get so desensitized to the monster or whatever the horror is,
yeah,
that it's just like, all right, this, I'm almost willing to give it a pass of just.
Well, no, it passes. Yeah,
this
is,
yeah. But that's why, like, usually
it's the journey.
Yeah,
in this
but
one,
but this journey was really fucking good because you're constantly tense. It was. I think the first Insidious, is that the one where he falls asleep or whatever?
Yeah.
So in the first like quarter of that movie,
it's great.
And then once they start showing things too much and explaining too much, you're like, fuck this.
Once he actually goes to the like that demon's like
horrible,
not the realm, but when he goes to the demon's like hideout, it's like, you bring up the ending. This is an ending that sort of splits a lot of people. They either hate it or they like it. Or
I didn't hate it because, like Travis was saying, it did remind me of like a darker Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
Travis is right with the Shaun of the Dead. I mean, it's I liked it just because it's different. Because every horror movie nowadays, I mean, usually is a rehash, but it's just shock.
She would have killed the Baba.
And then they would have been happy and everything would have been okay.
Or she would have looked at the camera and then all of a sudden she'd have a top hat on and you're like, oh.
And then her eyes would light up and become cat eyes and then Thriller would start playing and then, yeah. So
do we think this is a case of where she goes down there at one time every day to just more? Or because the ending, is it only supposed to be a couple days later or like a year later?
It seems like it's no, it's a couple days.
Because you said a couple weeks. No, those guys were there.
It's like 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that makes sense too. It's almost because she is going down to that basement where all of the dad's things are. And so that's where she's feeding her depression by going and visiting the dad's
and,
shit.
Like, well, that's confronting that's, it. Yeah.
Well, my curiosity is, though, is this something she does every year on the birthday to deal with it and to let the kid have his birthday? Or is it just a regular occurrence
only 2 weeks
daily?
Later.
Yeah, so.
So, I mean.
We're not sure.
What essentially the ending is saying is.
When we get the Baba Took, which is number two.
Don't give the studios ideas.
Then we'll find out
how.
That's
what it would be called.
And then the third one would be called Baba Fool of a Took. No?
No.
Okay.
I got you, though.
No. I'm leaving.
It is essentially, the ending is, we're going on her psychological journey of, like, we're feeling tense, we're feeling threatened, we're feeling horrible, and then the payoff actually is the fact that it's like, oh, shit, like, she's come to terms, like, when she screams at it at the end, when it's like, its giant hands are reaching out. She's finally confronting her demons and saying, like,
and she's doing Matrix back stretching.
That's after that.
Yeah. Oh. This is what I'm talking about when she's in her room and she's like,
where you just see the giant hands and nothing else stretched out.
Yeah.
And the house starts breaking apart.
Can I say that this movie kind of gave me like an Evil Dead vibe?
You can say that.
You're going to have to explain why.
Like, okay.
He's implying with some of the camera shots.
And
is that what you
mean? A little bit of the Raimi-esque, like the, oh shit, here comes the, oh shit, sorry. But yeah, the Evil Dead thing, like, it just sort of, like, the whole possession thing too, like, kind of like losing that kind of like normalcy that you have about yourself and just becoming this horrible piece of shit. I don't know if the Babadook really infested her or if it was just a manifestation of her anger.
It did.
But I mean, what is the Babadook really, though? Is it Like, is it really...
It's all of her rage, her anger, her depression made real. It's like she essentially brought this evil entity into real life.
And to her, she set up all of these... I feel she set up all these rules for herself that, okay, once I do this, then I'm going to go to this. And once I do this, so slowly but surely, as her descent into the madness, giving into it, it's all of a sudden, all right, I'm holding the sheet over my head for this many days. And all of a sudden, it's like, all right, I'm letting it in. It comes in, then... All right, now I guess I gotta kill the dog.
It kind of has this like Tyler Durden-esque feel to me too. When
Tyler Durden was the worst Sabretooth.
Well, the Babadook is a darker mirror of her.
Yeah,
well,
and it's like when she passes out due to whatever fucking. Sorry, Travis. Whenever she passes out due to like her just the stress and shit.
Yeah,
that's when new shit comes to light, as the dude would say, and you would discover like
Jeff Bridges.
Yes, a new book. Yes, Jeff Bridges, a new thing that she apparently had time to create, but she doesn't know that it's her.
Yeah.
Based on what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, okay, so in the book, there's a part where it says, if you deny me, the more you deny me, the stronger I grow.
Yeah.
And that's implying that the more she didn't, because she even tells, like, her sister, I am over it. I haven't brought him up.
It's not bothering you, right?
She's denying that. Depression and anger within her,
so
it's growing stronger inside of her, and that's why it's manifesting because she's not accepting she feels. Yeah.
In a weird way, she's actually trying to get her to actually say, like, hey, you should probably deal with this.
Yeah, because the thing is...
Deal with this dog.
She hasn't... She was using... She was using her silence. She was using all of that
Enjoy
stuff.
The silence.
She was using it as a coping mechanism, but it was unhealthy for her and everyone around her.
Oh, yeah.
To the point where...
No, it doesn't really bother the people around her.
Well, no, it does bother everyone around her.
Not really, though.
What are you talking about? Her son's a menace? And, like, on top of that...
Yeah, she didn't know how to raise her kid. I mean, she did... She went through a traumatic thing, but 7 years of it... I mean, there comes a time where it's like, all right, you're not helping yourself or your kid.
Fair enough.
That's the part where
I mean...
And she's told to get help to deal with it, but she like doesn't want to accept anyone's
help.
Her
usual excuse would be
I'm fine.
I'm walking. I got the fucking son to deal with. I don't know what.
I'm fine, baby.
No. It's
what are you doing, Dusty Rhodes?
Hello. I'm fine.
There you go.
No, but like, and that's the thing.
The worm from Labyrinth.
The worm from Scotty Too Hotty.
And it got to the point where essentially,
there you go.
Social services had to like come to. They were essentially going to take her kid away.
Yeah.
Unless she got her shit in order, which she eventually did. And then
although her son and her were still weirding them out, I love that's the best ending for me, is that they were still basically being themselves and weirding them out, but they're like, no, everything's fine.
Fine. But it also showed that finally. Instead of her trying to stifle her son, which is a part of why he's like he is, because she stifled him so much. And so finally he's talking like how he would, and she's not, oh my God. He's
she's not crazy. Shutting him down.
Yeah, she's allowing him to just speak.
And I'm taking a course right now that actually says, don't shut your kid down. Actually encourage them to talk and shit. So, you know, like, I think that's kind of cool that she eventually figured that out.
My biggest and probably only really issue with this movie is, the fucking sound of the Babadook, where it's like that old
school. Oh, yeah.
Roar.
Okay, yeah.
Oh,
so
when it uses
the pterodactyl roar. Yeah. Yeah. I can't even. It's
but
like.
When it actually,
Travis, would you like to do it?
No, I can't do that.
We got a lot of Foley
one.
Artists here.
No, I can't do that.
Mick Foley artists, as one would say.
But
that means.
That first phone call.
He paints
call.
Pictures of smiley faces.
The first phone call?
When you first finally hear it go, Babadook.
Dope.
Like that.
That's some bullshit.
That dude. Yeah, that part. I was just like, "Bitch, hang the phone up."
Yeah, and I don't mean.
And I didn't actually yell that, by the way.
Yeah,
we were all here.
And I don't mean that's bullshit. Like that's stupid. I meant like,
yeah.
Fuck that. When that fucking happens, like, oh come on.
No. Man. Every time something creepy would happen, like I noticed it would be like us three going, "Nope, sorry, nope, that's it."
Yeah, and it was
scary,
so well.
Without. Being like jump out scary,
yeah,
like it was more the kind of scary that could stay with you later too.
Yeah,
it was constant fucking tension.
It didn't need to use jump scares. It didn't need to use a lot of blood.
No,
it didn't need to use.
There's a very little amount of blood.
It's I want to call it psychological.
Yeah,
it's atmospheric and it just it's a movie that was able to build its tension very well, and it pulls you right when it needs to. But most horror movies where it's just like, okay, keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going.
Whoa, here comes the thing. Yeah, yeah, it's like
the, I mean, a normal horror movie, the dog would have jumped up at one point.
Or the cat. If they had a fucking cat, you know that's going to be a thing that scares them. Like, and it's like, oh, it's just the cat. And then here comes the real monster, like, in, like, half a minute later.
The scariest parts were the normal moments. It's just, hey, I'm making you food. Hey, I'm doing this. And every time you're just like, oh, so, well, something's obviously going to happen here. Well, something's obviously going to happen here. And it just, it's not happening. And then when these little subtle things come up, it's just like, oh, God. See,
and I think...
It's almost like it's playing on the conventions of what you expect.
Yeah. I mean,
and then not delivering on those on purpose to build even more tension for when something does finally break.
So I think the good way to end
this. I would just say if you're into horror movie, recommend it. I would recommend it.
Yeah. So like,
I don't know if I would, because most people
you're worried about
are going to be assholes about it.
Like, that shit was dumb.
Here's who's not going to like it. Plain Zero alumni, Obscure Gentleman alumni, Nick. He would say it's stupid because he wants to see the basic teeth-gnashing, crazy-ass shit.
And there's nothing wrong with wanting that. There's
everything wrong with it.
No, I don't think there's anything wrong with wanting that. It's just that I feel like if he came into this, he wouldn't like it.
I think there's a time and place for horror like that, and it can work. But it needs to be done where not only is it original, where it's executed well. The problem is a lot of modern horror movies that do the whole, like, super gore, teeth gnashing.
Show everything, yeah.
It's not even about showing everything. It's just that they're boring about it. They're unoriginal, where it's just like...
I'll say a movie that, for the most part, did really well that involved a monster, and it's probably going to get a few people shaking their heads at me, but for the first... maybe half of now I can't think of the movie's name. Beating You.
Oh, Jeepers Creepers.
Oh, Jeepers Creepers.
The first half of Jeepers Creepers, because you're not really seeing what it is. They do the monster really well. And then when it shows it, it might be a little too much.
The moment it shows to be a demon type thing, that's when I'm like, oh, I don't. Really
it's like.
But again, it depends on the execution.
Yeah.
With a movie like this, had they like gone out and straight up shown the Babadook
over and over again, it would have just. Well,
to be honest, you see the Babadook in the book, and that's pretty much what it looks like in
Is awesome, because they put in your head, man, this is what it fucking looks like, and you're like, oh, okay, Jesus Christ.
And then when you actually see it in that one little shot,
your imagination builds it up. It's like back in the day when two people would dance into the bedroom. It's like, oh man, that fucking's crazy. Right, guys?
Shout out to Liam
Neeson. This is a movie that is hard to recommend to certain people.
For people who really like movies or horror movies, I feel this is definitely for them. But like I'm not going to say... Like, my wife loves horror movies.
Yeah.
So I'll probably watch this with her. But she hates anything supernatural because she just laughs at it. Because she's that atheist.
Yeah.
But she needs to see a slasher movie because she thinks that could actually happen.
So. Okay.
But...
It's not exactly supernatural. It's real, actually, if you think about it.
Well, I'm.
It's not a trick.
In supernatural movies, these things are also real.
Yes.
But they are of the supernatural nature, which is this.
But think about it. No one died because of the dog. But that's her fault. That's her Babadook. Do you know what I mean? That's
the whole Babadook is her Babadook. That's
the Babadook inside of her.
Yeah. See? But think about it. It's not like a force going out and killing people.
I'm definitely good, because I mean, what turned me off from what maybe like recommend us doing this?
Yeah,
was like after The Ring came out, and it's like, all right, let's copy all these Asian horror films, make them Americanized, let's make pump out 100 sequels. Everyone started doing the same thing. Okay, let's have ghosts and telephones. I just became like this. I don't like this anymore.
And the problem with a lot of those movies, I mean, this could even be a episode unto itself, is the main problem with those movies is a lot of the Japanese versions rely on like cultural understandings, and they actually rely on like certain things that Americans don't
necessarily get or
understand or do. So
like Ringu, I think, is a lot more interesting than The Ring.
Definitely. But there's some things that we can't find scary because it's like. We're not raised in that sort of mentality. But yeah, certain people just would be like, oh, stupid. Why didn't she kill it?
And a lot of people probably would also be put off by the fact that Other than the dog, no one dies. There's no real death in this movie. I mean,
that's enough for me, though, the dog.
But which made this movie so enjoyable to me because it was so different from everything that's been put out in the last, like, 10, 15 years.
Which, yeah, but your average everyman, a lot of them are like, well, that's not scary. No one died. Like, they look for a kill count.
Yeah.
So
then that means that, like, Rambo's one of the scariest movies ever made, then.
Yes.
It is. Well, I mean, like, when you watch a horror movie nowadays, it's almost expected, like, oh, there's your sister. She's probably going to die. Oh, okay, there's the grandma.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. I was thinking, like, all these people are going to die.
Yeah, and
Fat Sean Ashmore, he's probably going to die.
Yeah. I thought that motherfucker was dead.
But nope.
No, so that's why I love this movie, because it just said, yeah, these are all the fucking tropes, but...
Fuck your tropes. Fuck your tropes.
That's basically what it said. Fuck
I like that.
And
once again, it's relying on what you expect it to do and not doing
especially
it.
Especially the ending and the real ending. I think you mentioned it, that if it was an American film, it would have ended with her looking up and like, oh, she's still possessed. She's still
evil. Yeah, yeah.
Or the kid.
Or some jump scare. A good example that is Sinister, which is a great movie up until the last like 5 minutes. And even the director says they essentially ruined his film.
No, they made him do that?
The studio was like, maybe you should add this. Or
This is a thing all on its own, too. I hate that now it's like horror movies, there's no resolution because they always want to have that final
that
jump scare.
That sequel hook. And that sequel hook, too.
It ruins so much for me, like, just to know that it's like, because it's like, I like the idea of, like, you know, watching the final girl, as she's known, go through all this. But if I feel like she's still going to be, like, at that last scene, it's like she still died, then why did I even bother rooting for her this whole time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's the thing. It worked at one point in time, like, original Friday the 13th. That worked. Because it was new. No one had done it yet. But now it's gotten to the point where it's like,
it's always going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, and there's a few movies that I've seen where they do kind of do something where everything's fucked, but it's so creative. One that comes to mind is like the end of Cabin in the Woods.
Yeah.
But there's a payoff that makes sense throughout the whole movie.
Oh, I mean, that's just a beautiful movie.
And see, the problem with modern horror films is every horror film wants a gotcha moment at the end where it's like, oh, no, you're not safe. It's like, but then why did you have this final act?
And like, even Scream has, like, those final jumps, but it also doesn't end in a manner that you're like, oh, these characters, it's fucked. Like, they still kind of get an ending.
Even Die Hard fucking Carl Winslow fucking shoots the guy, so you know he's dead.
Carl shoots Carl.
Yeah, Hans is on the ground, then Dr. Loomis, like, is like, he's gone, where did he go?
Yeah. And then Hans gets up and walks away.
Well, he could have just rolled or fell in an awning.
Just roll as he off. Roll as you fall. That's what I've been.
And
thought.
Then the tiger attacks him. Robert Goulet, Naked Gun.
Goulet.
So yeah, I guess that's a good way to end this up. Would you recommend this to your?
Yeah, why not? I mean, honestly, there's sorry, I don't mean it like that. It's like there's nothing wrong with this horror film. In fact, I would say even like to my friends who I know are not good with horror, it's great because it's like it's a there's something unnerving about it, but it's not exactly horrifying where it's like you're going to be disturbed as shit and you can't watch it ever. It's like, no, it's just a good movie.
At the end of the day, it's a good horror film.
Yeah.
It is one of those movies. I mean, and I'm legitimately surprised. I was hoping this was going to be good ever since I first saw the preview on Hulu.
And all the hype that was around it.
Like, even way before, like, because I'm not on the internet like you guys, like, looking at the hype. So, I saw that and I'm like, that's a fucked up movie.
Yeah.
Because it shows the part where the Babadook falls into her mouth, and in the preview, it slows it down to where his face is, like, the book.
Yeah.
And that fucking freaked me the fuck out.
I mean, and for me, I didn't even see the preview. All I've known of this movie is you saying that you watched it. It's Australian. It's good. There's a kid that yells Babadook a lot. And Mommy? Then I looked at the box.
Which did not happen a lot, by the way, apparently.
Yeah.
Because I never said, I said he yells it, and then I said he yells mommy a lot. And then you guys just ran with that and was like.
But I know we're wrapping up, but that kid turning, going from, oh, you're a piece of shit, to, like, you're rooting for him, like, fucking kill the mom, dude. Do something.
Yeah. He puts on his back, his catapult back.
And it felt kind of awesome, too. It was weird.
That did. Because that was payoff where she's like, stop it. And then finally it's like, no, you stop it. Here. And then it did nothing.
And she overstravels him.
I thought the kid would have gotten possessed or some shit. But again,
that's why I think this was great, because it said, fuck the tropes. Here's this fucking movie. Let's end it like this. All right, thanks. I loved it.
Yeah.
I give it 5 William Sadlers.
854 William Sadlers.
That's a lot of Sadlers.
It is. Out of 5. I give it about 4 William Sadlers out of 5.
See, if this were Plan Zero, he would have given it 2.
Nah. We don't rate out of zeros. We would rate out of, like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite horror movies of the contemporary horror movies, at least.
It's good.
Yeah, so I would say check it out.
Yeah.
And also, if you're listening to this, recommend any new horror movies. I mean, we've already picked 2 of them. There's 2 others to choose, but if you could recommend anyone that you think are actually really well done,
we'd appreciate it.
Yeah.
There you go.
So that was The Babadook. I'd suggest checking it out before it gets taken off of Netflix. Watch it in any way that you can. Just give it a look. It's well worth it. At this point, we would have had a Doctor Who talk back for Under the Lake, the most recent episode of Series 9. Well, that will not be happening this week due to some technical difficulties during the recording process. So, next week, we will resume everything as usual. It's just for some reason this week was plagued with a lot of bumps in the road, you could say. So, yeah, I'm sorry for that, but I hope you enjoyed our Babadook talk back, which, honestly, it was pretty fun recording it. Watching horror movies with people who either don't watch horror movies that much as, say, I would, or haven't seen a movie in general. It's always a fun experience. So we'll see what next week brings you guys. We do have a movie planned and some more nice content planned for you. But this week, you know how things are. So I will see you guys next week, or you'll hear me. Whichever way is fine. It doesn't matter. So stay ghoul, I guess. That's embarrassing. That's just horrible.